from Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President invites GP Ansor Kadir to keep Indonesia united. Japan enhance partnership with Indonesia through Project 2045. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited all members of the Ansor Youth Movement to continue to protect the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. He said this when attending the commemoration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad and Heroes Day in Kajen Square, Pekalongan Regency, Central Java. In the event, the president reminded all GP Ansor Kadir to always be close to the clerics and scholars in the life of society and the state. According to President, to be close to the ulama as heirs of the Prophet, the Indonesian nation will continue to move forward to become a better country.
Kepada seluruh kader GP Ansor,
to all GP Ansor kaders, by following the path of the glory of the Prophet, our great nation will continue to move forward in our great work to bring social justice, to improve the quality of Indonesia's human resources, advancing our great work to make Indonesia as the country of Baldatun Toyibatun Warabun Gafur, or prosperous country. The president also invited all GP Ansor kaders to participate in guarding the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. According to him, the Indonesian people must be protected, especially from the entry of foreign ideologies that would destabilize Pancasila. We must dare to show that Pancasila is the ideology of the Indonesian nation and cannot be replaced by other ideologies, especially the ideology of imported results. The birthday of Prophet Muhammad and Heroes Day in Pekalongan District were attended by hundreds of thousands of cadres of Barisan Ansor Serbaguna or Banser who came from all regions in Central Java. In addition to First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, President Joko Widodo was also accompanied by a number of working cabinet ministers and the Central Java regional government. The Japanese government will hold a public discussion on December 8 to 9, 2018, in Jakarta to provide reports to the public regarding projects and investments agreed upon by Indonesia and Japan ahead of Indonesia Goal 2045. The mega projects in various fields are included in the fields of infrastructure and investment has been discussed by President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe during a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the ASEAN summit in Singapore some time ago. This was stated by the Japanese ambassador to Indonesia, Masafumi Ishii, to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Thursday on the sidelines of the commemoration of the 85th anniversary of the Japanese emperor.
A few weeks ago, there was a bilateral meeting between President and Prime Minister in Singapore where they discussed a lot about infrastructure project, investment, and so on and so forth. In addition to that, they discussed the importance of Project 2045, and the President expressed his high expectation to the outcome. We are going to make it public beginning of December, 8 and 9 of December. We'll have a seminar. We make public report of Project 2045, and we look forward to discussing about it.
Furthermore, Ambassador Masafumi Ishii explained that Japan would continue to improve better partnership with Indonesia in the future, especially related to providing assistance for the earthquake and tsunami that occurred in several regions in Indonesia. The Japanese government hopes that the Building Back Better program for areas affected by the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia can be implemented as soon as possible. The Indonesian government has set a development priority to improve human resources in the coming 5 years, a senior minister stated. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated on Wednesday that the government would allocate 20% of the state budget for development of the education sector. In the meantime, the state budget allocation for the health sector will account for some 5%. He said the budget allocation for education will be directed at building polytechnics and vocational schools, as currently the numbers were very small. Panjaitan said that in 5 years, the government will build massive polytechnic schools. The coordinating minister for Maritime Affairs further noted that in addition to increasing the capacity of human resources, the government will continue with the development of infrastructure, bureaucratic and legal reforms, and industries having added value. In the health sector, the government is committed to reducing the weight of stunting. The government of Britain offers visa-free visits for Indonesian business people representing 23 selected companies. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik said on Thursday that the most important criterion is that the companies have big contribution to the economic relations between Indonesia and Britain. Indonesia is the third country in Asia-Pacific receiving the selected business scheme after China and India. Meanwhile, Dominique Hardy, the director of British Visa Department for Asia-Pacific, said, "At present, there are only 23 companies selected, but it is not impossible that the number would increase as Britain would make regular evaluation." The companies to receive the SBS facility are British companies having branches in Indonesia and Indonesian companies having units in Britain, such as PT Bank, HSBC, PT Standard Charter, PT Sinar Mas Group, and PT AstraZeneca Indonesia. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The heads of national medicines authorities from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, announced the Jakarta Declaration during the first meeting on Thursday. The declaration contains, among others, efforts to harmonize standards of vaccine. And surveillance in medicines for OIC members. Head of Food and Drug Supervision Agency, BPOM, Penny Lukito, said, "Through the meeting, a network has been built to carry out regulatory functions to realize the availability of safe, qualitative, and useful medicines." Other parts of the declaration underline the importance of redefining views of halal or allowed by Islam medicines and vaccines. She said the definition of halal and foods was not a problem because a lot of choices are available. Penny stressed emergency is one of the reasons halal for vaccines and medicines must be redefined. The World Health Organization states 30% of the world population lack access to essential medicines, including vaccines. The Ministry of Defense stated that the exports of defense industrial products reached $284.1 million from 2015 to 2018. On the other hand, the domestic sales in the same period reached 5.4 trillion rupiahs. Rear Admiral Agus Setiadi, head of defense facilities, sat on the sidelines of a discussion event at the East Java Governor's Office on Thursday. The exports worth $161 million were achieved by PT Dirgantara Indonesia in the form of 2 units of CN-235 aircraft to Senegal, 3 units of NC-212 to Vietnam, and 2 units of NC-212 to Thailand. PT PAL contributed $86.9 million through the exports of 2 units of strategic sea lift vessel to the Philippines, while PT Pindad exported annual armor vehicles, tanks, arms and ammunition to meet the needs of countries in Southeast Asia, Africa, the United Arab Emirates, South Korea, Nigeria and Timor Leste. Meanwhile, Petr Lundin also conducted exports to Russia and Sweden in the form of Sea Rider ships worth $3.6 million. To meet the domestic needs, Setiadi pointed out, the defense industry sold products worth 1.83 trillion rupiahs to the Air Force, worth 1.29 trillion rupiahs to the Navy, 1.9 trillion rupiahs to the Army, and 180.4 billion rupiahs to the Defense Forces headquarters. He noted the sale of defense industrial products was a matter of pride as it proved Indonesia's global competence. Presidential Chief of Staff General retired Muldoko called on students, especially from Brawijaya University, to innovate in various fields in a bid to face a world that continues to change. Muldoko said during a seminar, Indonesian Competitiveness, held in Brawijaya University, Malang on Thursday, the changes in the world are running very fast. Innovate or die, this is your choice to determine your own future, he said. Changes, Muldoko noted, have various risks and complexities. Changes, Muldoko noted, have various risks and complexities. Therefore, as a young generation of Indonesia, students are expected to be able to take a position to anticipate and to utilize the changes. One of the changes that occurs very quickly is e-commerce. When e-commerce is faced and utilized properly, it will be an opportunity to advance local economy. Muldoko hoped that the students could take advantage of the opportunities by creating innovations in all fields. The contribution of Indonesia's creative industry to the gross domestic product GDP in the last 3 years has continued to increase. In 2015, the sector had contributed 852 trillion rupiahs to the GDP, while in 2016, the figure reached 923 trillion rupiahs, an increase to 990 trillion rupiahs in 2017. The figure is projected to reach up to 1,000 trillion rupiahs in 2018. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is ASEAN Summit and Settlement of South China Sea Conflict. The 33rd ASEAN Summit has just been held in Singapore. In addition to ASEAN Summit, several forums were also held in the ASEAN Initiative, ASEAN Plus One, ASEAN Plus Three, East Asia Summit, ASEAN Regional Forum, and ASEAN Defense Ministers Meeting. Some important issues are the Rohingya problem, trade protectionism, the Indo-Pacific, and the South China Sea. One of the issues discussed more deeply is the resolution of South China Sea conflict. After a while, the agreement has not been reached. Finally, the ASEAN countries, in the 20th meeting with China, agreed to start negotiations on the code of conduct, even though they have not yet decided when to start. The response to the agreement sounds positive because the hopes to end the South China Sea conflict will turn to reality. At least, that is what emerged from the result of the ASEAN and China meetings. ASEAN is one of the world regions with positive economic growth, while other regions are growing more slowly. If political and security issues disturb ASEAN, it will have a direct impact on the economic growth in the region. However, ASEAN cannot stand alone. One of ASEAN's main partners is China. Interference in relation with China can hamper growth in ASEAN. Take, for example, it is the conflict with China related to the South China Sea. One of the key points to ASEAN success was made by an Indian academic, Amitav Acharya, who said that there is no identity without an institution, and no institution can last long without an identity. Thus, Seato fails and ASEAN succeeds. ASEAN, with the togetherness and solidity of its members, tries to overcome the problem of South China Sea to find the best solution. In fact, China has set about 3 years to be able to agree on the code of conduct in resolving the South China Sea conflict. This agreement is a progress to solve the South China Sea problem, This also proves that ASEAN can solve the problem directly without outside intervention. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from historical tragedy which occurred on November 23, 1980, a series of earthquakes hit South Italy. Earthquakes in Italy hit Irpinia, South Italy on Sunday, November 23, 1980. The 6.8 Richter scale earthquake centered at Konza village caused 2,914 people died and 10,000 were injured. Italian government spent about 58.64 billion euros for a reconstruction process, while 100 million euros came from other countries. On November 23, 1996, Ethiopian airline Flight 961 hijacked and crashed in Indian Ocean. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 961 was a Boeing 767 aircraft that flying the Addis Ababa-Nairobi route was hijacked on November 23, 1996. The aircraft made an emergency landing at Legawa Islands, Moroni, Comoros, because it ran out of fuel. This accident resulted in 123 passengers being killed and 52 others injured. The main reason for the plane crash was because it ran out of fuel. We end today's segment of Today in History with the last historical event on November 23, 2003. Georgian President Eduard Amvrosevich Shevardnadze resigned from his post. Eduard Amvrosevich Shevardnadze served as President of Georgia in 1995 until he resigned on November 23, 2003 amidst the Rose Revolution. Under the leadership of Mikhail Gorbachev, he served as Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Soviet Union in 1985 to 1990. Due to Shevardnadze's political skills, he earned the nickname Tetrimelia or White Fox. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. Today's topic is about Indonesia wants to expand pharmacy export. Indonesia held a meeting of heads of the drug and food regulatory bodies of member countries of the OIC, Islamic Cooperation Organization, in Jakarta on November 21 and 22, 2018. In the meeting of the heads of national medicine regulation authorities, NMRAs, from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation Organization in Jakarta on November 21 and 22, 2018. In the meeting of the heads of national medicine regulation authorities, NMRAs, from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation member states, Indonesia expressed its desire to expand export of pharmaceutical products in the future. Director General of Multilateral, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Febrian Alfianto Rudiar, as released by Republika on Thursday, November 22, said that NMRAs could expand the Indonesian vaccine market. At present, some OIC member countries do not yet have a regulatory framework regarding vaccine manufacturing and procurement of medicines. Fabian said that so far, if these countries need vaccines, they had to go through WHO. One of the conditions for importing vaccines, a country must have a strong regulatory framework for vaccine safety in accordance with international security standards. Fabian, on the sidelines of the NMRA's meeting, said that if it was deemed not fulfill requirement, the country must import through WHO. Currently, Indonesia has its own regulatory framework and can import or make drugs and vaccines independently. Therefore, at the meeting, Indonesia also shared knowledge about the framework of the rules of drugs and vaccines. If the OIC member countries have their own regulatory framework, they can import drugs or vaccines without intermediaries. Fabian hopes that these countries will import and expand the drug and vaccine market from Indonesia. Meanwhile, head of the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, Penny Lukita, explained the National Medicine Regulation Authorities is aimed to form collaborations between OIC member countries to build independence and access to drugs and vaccines that were not only affordable, but also safe and quality. Indonesia wants a real contribution to help fellow OIC members, including in the health sector. In the future, Penny Lukita hopes that Indonesia will not only excel in exporting vaccines to fellow OIC countries, but also to other countries. At present, Indonesia and Senegal are two OIC member countries that are quite leading in terms of vaccine productions. Both countries have received WHO pre-qualification stages, an international security for vaccine production. Meanwhile, Minister of Health Nila Muluk, in her speech, hoped that all OIC countries could help each other. This is not only for the health of Muslims in OIC member countries, but also has an impact on improving the economy, which leads to the welfare of Muslims throughout the world. On the other hand, OIC Assistant Secretary General Muhammad Naim Khan said that currently the majority of OIC member countries are developing countries. Therefore, affordable, safe and quality medicines are needed. That was my Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo invited all members of the Ansor Youth Movement to continue to protect the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The Japanese government will hold a public discussion on December 8 to 9 in Jakarta to provide reports to the public regarding projects and investments agreed upon by Indonesia and Japan ahead of Indonesia Goal 2045. The Indonesian government has set a development priority to improve human resources in the coming 5 years, a senior minister stated. The government of Britain offers visa-free visits for Indonesian business people representing 23 selected companies. British ambassador to Indonesia, Mojam Malik, said on Thursday that the most important criterion is that the companies have big contribution to the economic relations between Indonesia and Britain. The heads of national medicines authorities from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, announced the Jakarta Declaration during their first meeting on Thursday. The declaration contains, among others, efforts to harmonize standards of vaccine and self-reliance in medicines for OIC members. The Ministry of Defense stated that the exports of defense industrial products reached $284.1 million from 2015 to 2018. On the other hand, the domestic sales in the same period reached 5.4 trillion rupiah. Presidential Chief of Staff General Retired Muldoko called on students, especially from Brawijaya University, to innovate in various fields in a bid to face a world that continues to change. Muldoko said during a seminar, Indonesian Competitiveness, held in Brawijaya University, Malang on Thursday, the changes in the world are running very fast. Innovate or die. This is your choice to determine your own future, he said. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Ganwoja tradition from Flores, is Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. There are various tribes that live in Flores Island, is Nusa Tenggara. Most of the tribes still preserve tradition and their ancestors. For example, Sage tribe at Sage village. They have ancestors' heritage that is conducted and preserved in Baru Meze or traditional house. Every year, the ritual of Ganwoja is conducted continuously by public figures and community of Sage tribe. Even while the ritual is being held, people of the Sage tribe who stay in other cities must come home. Ganwoja in Kolor language in the southern part of East Manggarai Regency is a figurative language. Gan means eating, woja means rice, so Ganwoja is a tradition of eating new rice. In addition, the tradition of Ganwoja is also meant as a celebration of the annual harvest by all members of the Sage tribe. Moreover, the tradition also signifies that all residents and the old years, then they begin to plant rice, corn, beans in the new year of agricultural calendar of the local people of East Manggarai. In addition, this tradition is also held with the same ritual for tribesmen who had long passed away as a sign of farewell to the people and Baru Meze. Sage tribe, Ganwoja tradition is held to grateful for the harvest in the past, both good harvest or failure, and as a ritual to request the blessing to the creator, the ancestors of the Sage tribe, and the universe in order to get abundant harvest for New Year. If the residents do not carry out the ritual in Baru Gendang, they are prohibited to plant rice, corn in the field of Sage tribe customary land. There are ingredients of offerings that must be prepared for ancestors, such as red chickens and black pigs. All offerings must be collected from members of the Sage tribe during traditional rituals. Before holding Ganwoja ritual, residents of the Sage tribe are prohibited to plant rice and corn. The ritual must be carried out in Baru Gendang or the traditional house of the Sage tribe. During the traditional rituals of the Ganwoja, a ritual of Kedaruga Manu or trampling on native chicken eggs for Sage women. The women have been united and are legitimate as residents of the Baru Gendang or traditional house of Sage tribe. It also means that wives can step on and enter the traditional house. Then the traditional elders conducting totok manuk, or custom speech, in the traditional house. The elders then held a ritual by holding a chicken while all members of the Sage tribe sat in a circle inside the traditional house. Then the chicken is cut at Watunurung. The chicken blood droplets smeared to the feet of the women as a sign of respect and appreciation. The traditional elders then handed over offerings with betel leaves at Watunurung. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today's edition about tradition of Ganwoja from Flores, East Nusa Tenggara. We will meet again in other interesting topics, and goodbye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. It's nice to meet you again in Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present a Bali weekend at Volkan Kunde Museum, Leiden. Stay with us at www.voinews.id. Listeners, Indonesian Ambassador to the Kingdom of the Netherlands, Igusti Awisaka Puja, presented Barong Dance with the accompaniment of the Suara Santi Gamelan from Amstelveen. The show received festive welcome from visitors to the Bali Weekend event at the Volkan Kunde Museum, Leiden last weekend. The performance of Ambassador Igusti Waseka Puja was part of the Bali Weekend event at the Volkan Kunde Museum. This activity in Leiden is one part of the Bali Welcome Grand Exhibition Zarius, held since last October. 250 collections of famous Balinese artworks are displayed in the Welcome to Paradise exhibition this time. The exhibition is scheduled to take place until May 26, 2019. Suara Santi Gamelan opened the performance by singing Sinom Ladrang, which brought viewers to the atmosphere of everyday life in Bali. During the weekends of 17 and 18 November, visitors not only visited the exhibition but also watched cultural performances and attended various workshops. The cultural performances also featured the Kembang Girang Dance by the Dwi Bumi Dance Studio and Rangda Dance. Ambassador Igusti Agung Waseka Puja, after his appearance, said that Bali is a famous tourism destination in the Netherlands. According to information, more than 200,000 Dutch people travel to Bali every year. Listeners, in this activity, there was Balinese dance workshop by Anak Agung Bagus Krishna Suteja, Gamelan Coach Suara Santi, who has just completed his master program at Kodach, Rotterdam, and Afke, one of the Dutch citizens of Balinese cultural activities. During the weekends, visitors not only enjoyed the exhibition but also watched cultural performances and attended various workshops. There were also presentations about Bali, such as cooking demonstrations of Balinese food, preparing offerings, and making art items. The Volkan Kunde Museum, located 19 kilometers from The Hague, has the largest collection of Bali outside Indonesia. It also has collection from some countries of Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. That was Miss Lenny for today, featuring Bali Weekend at Volkan Kunde Museum, Leiden. We will meet again with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from East Kalimantan. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to Dendam Kampung, sung by Shafa Meja. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, which can be heard through live streaming at www.voinews.id or RRI Play application.
Thank you.
Yes, that was the first song entitled Dendam Kampung, which tells about someone's homesickness in her hometown. Through the song, it is hopes that the residents who are wandering always remember their hometown. Let's listen to the next song entitled Dendang Melayu Kutai, sung by Shafa Meja. Enjoy the song. You have just listened to the second song entitled Dendang Melayu Kutai, sung by Shafa Meja. The song tells about typical dance of East Kalimantan, namely Japan dance. Japan dance was developed by Kutai and Banjar tribe, who live at the edge of Mahakam River. Various movements of the dance are influenced by Malay and Islamic culture. In the past, the dance functioned as entertainment when coronation of kings from Kutai Kartanegara Sultanate in Tenggarong and as youth intercommunication dance. Since 1970s, the dance has been performed to welcome honorable guests, wedding ceremony, and other ceremonies. For the next songs, we present a song entitled Nasi Bekepor, sung by Safa Meisha. Nasi Bekepor tells about the delicious taste of East Kalimantan traditional food. In the past, Nasi Bekepor was served for the kings of Kutai. Today, all communities can enjoy the food. Listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Kuliner Benua. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sound.
Situ ada tari menari.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.